Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Yes, it's
good
really
morning.
Me.
It is.
I have the voice back.
You're not hoarse today.
No.
But we also brought in our...
Mark, our new producer.
Right, our brand new... Well, almost brand new. A couple of months.
Yeah. Years.
I guess I was on a little bit last week.
Yes, you were. Thank you for that. You came in to train and we threw you right in because I had no voice. So.
Yeah, a voice from cottonwood allergies?
I know. Allergy. You know, that seasonal thing that a lot of people go through, and we live in a new place, so it was really loud. So.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I don't have allergies.
Oh, yeah. So. But I did exactly what you told me, Dr. Mixon.
Good.
And I have a voice this week.
What did he tell you?
He told me, I don't want to take stuff because it'll dry my voice out. And that's not good if you talk for a living because then you sound like I did last week. And I did some nasal decongestion. And what did that do for me, Dr. Mixon? I did the nasal spray.
Yeah. Well, basically, you decrease the amount of mucus being produced in the upper airway, which then runs down the back of the throat. Mm. And that's what makes you, it's all
and
that
that's
mucus
why
that's coming.
Throat hurts.
Yes. And so, you know, if you fix it so you don't get all that mucus being produced above, well, then you don't have all that mucus down below.
And then your ears don't hurt. And then your throat doesn't hurt.
Station tubes open up and you can drain your ears. Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Very good. And I was doubling up on my quercetin.
Good.
And my NAC.
Okay.
This week.
And that's for allergies?
The quercetin has an antihistamine effect in the process. It's mostly an antioxidant. Although it helps to prevent, or at least decrease, the incidence of senescent cell formation, and it is a very good antioxidant, you know, polyphenol. So, healthy sort of thing, anyway.
Yes. But, so it's like that helped me. Well, hello. Here I am.
Here you am.
Here I am with a voice.
It doesn't affect my voice. It affects my eyes. So
you get the eyes.
So I can't see phone numbers and things. If
yes. Yes. And then some people have the constant cough or the sneeze. I don't. It's all throat and ears for me.
And with you, Mark, it's probably edema of the cornea. The cornea gets puffy and swollen,
yes.
And that changes the light transmission to your through your lens to your retina. So
there you go.
Okay, but we are all here. The allergies are clearing.
Yes.
Everybody's going to be happy and healthy.
I'll do some talking. Yeah. Mark will do some talking. And
except for the Pelotron users.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Pelotron. You know, you buy a $1,400 stationary bicycle, and they've had to recall them all because the seats are breaking and people are falling off them.
Oh.
You're sitting on that seat and you're pedaling like mad and you're watching your little video and it's showing you going up a mountain and suddenly the seat breaks off.
Oh.
And down you go. So they've had several significant injuries, broken bones and so on. So Pelotron has recalled their bicycles.
Wow.
And
okay.
They're sending out new, more sturdy bicycle seat posts. I can't help wondering, since did they start making weaker seat posts, or are heavier people using the Pelotrons?
Or is it all of the above?
Or all of the above, yeah. Because, you know, are they trying to save money, so they made a weaker, more fragile seat post that might have saved them a dollar or 20 a piece? Or is it just that the people riding the Pelotrons are bigger, fatter, heavier people, and they're stressing the seat post more. I have no idea.
We don't know.
I don't own a Pelotron, and so... But I was just interested in seeing the recall and the reason for the recalls, the seat breaking and breaking off and people falling. Okay.
All right. So that's one thing.
It is.
Let's quickly give the phone number for Leading Edge Medicine if you'd like to get through. Both Mark and I will be in chatting today, since you'll hear Mark when I'm on vacation.
That phone number, toll-free, 800-465-8770. Mm-hmm. 800-465-8770. We already have somebody on the line.
Awesome.
And do we want to go to them right away? Oh, you have more news for us.
Well, yes. We've always got more news, but let's go ahead and I always hate to make people wait any longer than necessary. So let's get our first caller, and then I'll throw in the other little tidbits that seem to be raising eyebrows in medicine today.
Okay. Well, Terry in Mount Lake Terrace has a question. Terry, what's your question for Dr. Mixon?
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Well, it has to do with AG ratio. Mine came back on a recent lab just over the high end of the range, and the albumin and globulin were both within range, but globulin was on the low side, just enough to throw things over the top on the ratio. Okay. Now, when I looked it up, I see there are a number of different possibilities, and the one that seems most likely to me is just other GI issues, because they do have some histamine sensitivity, and the free T4 to T3 conversion, much of which happens in the bowel, is for the first time ever so far below. I mean, it's just off the chart on the low side.
Okay. So, before you go on, Terry, because most people here have no idea
what an AG ratio.
That's right. And since we have we have 30,000 or so people listening, we probably ought to not leave them in the dust. Okay. Okay. AG, albumin to globulin ratio.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Albumin is the primary free protein. We've got it kind of circulating in our system. And it bonds to a fair number of our hormones in a reversible way. So part of your testosterone, part of your estrogen, part of your progesterone, part of your pregnenolone, all these hormones bond to albumin to some degree. And they are usually weakly bound, so that then if you really need them, you can pull it off the albumin and use it. On the other hand, the globulins are the immunoglobulins. These are the globulins formed, the factors formed in response to infections or vaccines to protect you against infections. And so these are a large component of the proteins circulating in your system. And so it appears that his albumin is pretty much mid-range, but his globulin level is quite low.
Uh-oh, and what does that mean?
I wouldn't say quite low. It's at the low end of normal.
Okay.
But that just shifts the ratio off when you divide the albumin by the globulin. There's a lot of reasons for that, Terry, as you found in your search, which is why I don't get terribly excited about it usually. For instance, if people have simply gone a long time since they had an infection, their globulin levels may be quite low because their immune system is saying, I'm not needed.
You're good.
Why am I making immune antibodies here? Because there's no infections to fight. And so your globulin level can drop on down. Or it can drop on down because, again, T3 conversion may be a little low, and that slows the metabolism in some of your immune responses. If he's getting low T3, by the way, is thyroid with three iodine molecules attached to it. When your thyroid makes thyroid hormone, the primary one it makes is T4. It's thyroid with four iodines, and then once that's in your system, many of your tissues, a large part of it, the immune functions in your gut, strip off one of those iodines and convert T4 to T3, and T3 is about 3.5 to 4 times more potent than T4. So when your T3 drops, it means your thyroid most active function is also dropping a bit.
Ah, okay.
So, and that in turn can infect your immune response because your whole metabolism has damped down a bit. So, Terry, I don't hear anything from you thus far that concerns me. You've got a mildly, you know, out of range lab work, but it is of no great consequence to your overall health.
Good. That's good to hear.
All right. But, so go forth, be healed, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
There you go.
No stress, okay?
I'm headed for the beach for a while.
All right.
Yay.
Good for you. All right. Take
care.
Got a
clear bye-bye. Note bye-bye. From the doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah, this is my prescription for many things, which is just go enjoy your life and have some fun. Fun, good. Stress, bad. So... do we have another caller or do I?
Not yet, but okay, we will soon, I'm sure. People need to call 800-465-8770 to talk to Dr. Mixon this morning with your questions, health questions.
See, Terry has called the show many times before, and he's learned as an experienced caller that you call early.
Good job, Terry.
So you don't get caught up in the rush at the end of the show.
When we're trying to cram everybody in.
That's right.
Now's the time to get on because all the phone lines are clear and open for you. As we talk
right.
to Dr. Mixon, find out what else is going on in medical
news. So if you will,
news.
You know, go ahead and give us a call now, not an hour and 40 minutes from now, when we're running out of time, okay? The other thing that is of some real concern is, for some reason, the incidence of young strokes is rising rapidly. And it's mostly in people born after the mid-1990s. So, I mean, really young people, people under 30. People under 30 are now accounting for nearly 15% of the strokes.
Wow.
That's bizarre. Back when I was a lad in medicine, it was like 2 and 3%.
Yeah.
And it's been rising over the last several decades. And now this, you know, I don't know what we're going to call that generation from, you know, 95 on. Are they Generation E for electronic?
Yes. techie. Generation T.
Yeah. The trouble is most of them don't really have tech skills. They just... spend their nose in their
screen.
In their screen time all the time. So I think E fits them better
there
than
you
T.
go.
But for some reason, young people are starting to have strokes. We had a young friend of ours, 11 years old, who died recently, several months ago. Her parents, healthy young kid, nobody had any inkling there were any problems, and they got up in the morning and found her dead on the bathroom floor at 11.
Wow.
And, of course, sent her for autopsy because the question was, did she inadvertently get connected to some fentanyl or something? Did she pick something in the street that was contaminated by fentanyl and she, you know, over? No. It turned out it was a hemorrhagic stroke. She had a blood vessel in her brain break and bled into her brain and killed her in the middle of the night. You know, she apparently got up to go to the bathroom and, you know, maybe strained a little bit. A little rise in blood pressure, vessel popped, and she died at 11. I mean, what a devastating thing to find when you get up in your morning to go for your little girl. And, of course, you know, she was born in the 2000-plus.
Yes.
But we're seeing a lot more young people having serious hemorrhagic strokes. And the question is, why?
Mm-hmm.
What is suddenly wrong? I can't believe that suddenly in the mid-1990s, a larger percentage of Americans started developing aneurysms in their brains. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, I can't imagine a mechanism why we could get that, because that's primarily a genetically coded sort of issue. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see some things rise, you know, some things that are concerned. Cholesterols on average are rising. As weight is rising, sedentary lifestyles, more screen time, testosterone is dropping in males, even in young males. We get men in their 20s and 30s now that have testosterone levels that I, back in the 60s, would have seen in 60-year-olds, which is really concerning. You know, is that a social development? Are men feeling, you know, attacked or disrespected to the point that they, for some reason, are no longer making as much male hormones? Are they trying to, you know, be females? Since the female, you know, the female ethos and way of thinking and acting is now held up as the new standard, and everything male is considered to be toxic and vicious and, you know, so is this connection between brain and hormones, you know, is always a two-way street? Maybe has that got something to do with it? I have no idea. You know, 50% of the creatures on this earth, of the mammals on this earth, are male, which means by definition, male thoughts, desires, instincts, and behaviors are just as natural as females. So I don't know why we are disrespecting everything male and putting everything female on a pedestal, but that seems to be the way the powers that be want it. So we shall see.
So many questions, right?
Got to take a break.
Okay.
And before we take that break, let me mention again the number to call with your questions, 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Call right now with your questions for Dr. Mixon. It's Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that you love me.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic, as always. And boy, we've got some people already on the phone today.
Wow.
And we'll go right to those people in just phone number to call for you to get on with Dr. Mixon today is 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. First caller on right now is Rodney in Olympia. He has a question for Dr. Mixon.
Hello, Rodney. How can I help?
Howdy. You offer a sonic treatment for ED.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't that work on coronary arteries?
Well, you know, there is a new one. The one that we're using, of course, uses a transducer from the outside. And the coronary arteries are on the surface of the heart, way down underneath your breastbone and between your lungs. So we can't reach it with a surface transducer very well. But there actually is a device. In fact, I was visiting about it with my favorite cardiologist, Reuben Maiden, recently. In which they thread a transducer, a little tiny transducer up your arm or through your groin arteries, right into the heart. They put it near the area where you've got a plaque. And if that plaque has significant calcium in it, they can actually fire a series of sonic bursts to break up the calcium. Both in the wall of the artery as well as the calcium in the calcified plaque, and so that it's broken up into little tiny fragments that can be reabsorbed much more easily by your body. So there is such a device out right now. It's been out a couple of years because cardiology is not my primary area. I was not aware of it until, you know, couple of months ago.
Wow. Okay.
But yes, so I had Reuben chat with me about it, and then I went online and started reading some of the research. It's really neat. So we now have something we can do about calcified plaques. Instead of just trying to change your diet and your lifestyle and so on in hopes of reabsorbing them, we can actually break them up into tiny, tiny, tiny fragments so they are more easily reabsorbed. Isn't that kind of neat?
That is neat. I like that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Rodney. Take care.
Okay, thanks, Rodney. Moving on to line two, we have Leo in Auburn. He has been with us over 100 years, and he wants to know if Dr. Mixon has any ideas on why. Hey, Leo, good to have you on today.
Wow. Hi, Leo.
Hello, Leo. How can I help, sir?
Hello. Well, hello. I, by this coming August, I'll be 102 years old.
Well, and congratulations.
I find myself... Many people are asking me questions. What is the secret that made you live so long? And my answer has always been, I'm just lucky. Well, I don't think that's a very good answer. I was just wondering if you have something better for me.
Well, I mean, I've got some questions for you. First, how long did your parents live? And what did they die of?
Well, my mother lived till 94. My dad committed suicide at 59.
Okay, so we don't know what his natural lifespan would have been. You know, my best guesstimate is that you have been genetically blessed. We all come into this world with a genetic component that gives us a propensity to go one way or another. And, you know, there are people that can do everything wrong and still seem to get away with it for long periods of time. And other people who do everything right and they die young. You know, and I don't know. I kind of like Willie Nelson's answer, you know. What was it? Faster horses, younger women, and older whiskey.
Boy, Leo, does that describe you?
I don't drink whiskey and I don't smoke. But anyway,
smoking wasn't in there, but the fast horses I've always enjoyed.
The younger woman at 102 could be pretty much everyone he knows.
Yeah, for you, a younger woman is just about anybody on earth. So, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Yeah, you know, I've always enjoyed fast horses. I love riding horseback really fast. Mm. I once owned a young colt that I was given by a patient for helping him out. And so I raised this colt from the day it was born.
Aww.
Great little stallion. He loved to run. And so, yeah, he and I would take off. This was back when I was living in Idaho, and we'd take off across the range, you know, just going lickety split. It was a lot of fun. And when I moved over here to Washington, I gave him to the brand inspector, so that he would still be out on the range every day, being ridden, inspecting cattle brands.
Oh wow! Okay.
They put the cattle out on the range in the summer, and then they gather them up in the winter, in the fall, and they have to go sort out which cattle belong to whom. So I said, "Listen, I'm just going to
give it to you.
I'm giving it to you." So
what was the horse's name? Did you have a
Rusty?
Rusty.
It was his color. He was a rust colored stallion. So So I love fast horses. I'm married to a 30-year younger woman, so clearly I like younger women.
And what about the whiskey, Dr. Mixon?
I can't drink worth a hoot. I have no tolerance. It's a family trait. I do not make enough alcohol dehydrogenase, so when I have alcohol, it gets absorbed, goes to my liver. I can't break it down. It just heads straight into my bloodstream. I get really drunk from a tiny, tiny amount of alcohol, and I stay drunk a long time.
Okay.
So, yeah. So back in my single days, of course, I used to tell people that. With, half a glass of wine, women can have their way with me. So please bring a bottle. Gave me an excuse to be easy. But
look at the phone calls. The phones are ringing, Dr. Mixon.
Well, then why don't we take one of those?
We will.
Before I get thrown off the air.
And we do have some lines open, though. 800-465-8770 is the number to call. Just like Tim in Auburn, he has a question for Dr. Mixon. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Good morning. I got a question. I started taking Tadalafil 5 milligram, and it upsets my stomach, and I've tried a couple other ones, and they just don't, on a daily or every other day, it upsets my stomach a little bit. So what I was thinking now, would niacin do the same thing as the ED drugs?
No.
Not for the erection, but... Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, niacin is a vasodilator. That's why we get flush. The biggest side effect of niacin is while it does help your APO little A, it dilates blood vessels to the point that people get this really bad flush. And if you use it long enough, you'll adjust and the flush will become less and less of a problem. But that's a surface flush. That's not usually a genital flush, which is what we're shooting for, for ED. We're trying to dilate those blood vessels in the urogenital tract. On the other hand, things that raise nitric oxide levels, there are several products out there that you can take that will increase your systemic nitric oxide. And that is the other side of the ED drugs. See, the PDE5 inhibitors, these tadalafil, Viagra, Levitra, these things, it prevents you from breaking down nitric oxide. And so when your arteries want to expand, they produce some nitric oxide, and these drugs don't let you get rid of it as fast. And so your levels go up because you're making the same amount, but you're not getting rid of it as quickly. And so you get a better erectile function. The other side of that factor is to make more nitric oxide. Mm. And there are several things out there that can do that. I know we carry, we've had one we've carried at the clinic for, oh God, probably 8 or 10 years. We call it, it's Neo 40. So NEO and then the number 40. It's not covered by insurance. It's a lozenge that you can either suck on or chew. But it does help you to produce more nitric oxide for several hours. And we've had a lot of guys that did not get as good a response from the ED drugs as they wanted. And we put them on the Neo 40 in addition to the ED drug. And the combination of making more nitric oxide and destroying it slower gave them pretty good help. Mm-hmm. So that's another approach.
Okay, and because I'm wondering if there's anything like over the counter I could take, not for the ED, but just for opening up my veins, because you think that's really good.
Yeah, it's the arteries, not the veins, we're worried about. Okay.
Okay.
It's usually the arteries that are losing their ability to expand. Veins expand because they're such thin-walled, weak vessels. But the arteries are muscular, and what we're trying to do is to get that smooth muscle in your arteries to relax and allow the lumen to get bigger. Actually, any of the really high nitrate foods, beets are famous for that. So if you like beets, I just make them a part of your daily diet. I've had Russian friends who gave me wonderful recipes for borscht. And I like borscht, and it is, it's basically a beet-based stew, and it works quite well for to increase nitric oxide production. And you can do beets in your salads, beets as a veggie, beets here and there. So, yeah, there's a fair number of ways to do that cheaply. And then, of course, there is a supplement sold called Super Beets, which is basically just powdered beets. Not hard.
Do you have any suggestions on so I wouldn't get upset stomach anything when I take?
I'm presuming you've already tried the simple stuff, such as taking it with food or after a meal, so that you buffer it in your stomach.
No, a little bit, but I could probably try that with food because I do. Yeah. I would like to take 5 milligram.
Yes. And also, it's a dose response. So taking 2.5 in the morning and 2.5 in the evening might also, because the half-life of tadalafil is quite long. It's effective for about 36 hours. And so if you take half of your dose in the morning with breakfast and half in the evening with dinner, you'd be a lot less likely to get an upset stomach.
I'll try that. And since it lasts 36 hours, should I take it every other day if it's going to be in my system?
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to build up a level. And so it depends on how high a level you want. I'm really a big guy, and I'm in my late 70s, and I want to protect my heart and my brain to the maximum effect. So, I'm on 10 milligrams a day. But what I find is that if level builds up too much, I start to get headachy, especially headachy with sex, which is no fun to see.
No.
Not tonight, dear. I have a headache.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, you turned me on so much, I got a headache from it.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Something's wrong there.
That's right. I mean, that has traditionally been the female role, but... You know, but yes, it can give you a headache because it dilates the blood vessels in your brain.
Oh.
And I want my brain vessels wide open. So,
right.
Just not enough to cause pain.
I'll experiment.
Okay, play with it a little bit.
I will experiment. Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
sir. Your time.
Okay, thank you. Bye. That opened up the line for you at 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We have a couple of people calling from Tacoma that we'll take right after this break. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. Dr. Jerry Mixon with us this morning answering your questions.
Come with me. Sea of love, I want to tell you how much I love you.
And hey, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We have people calling 800-465-8770, and some lines are open, but we do have several people from Tacoma on the line. Let's go with John first in Tacoma. And what's your question for Dr. Mixon, John?
Hi, John.
Well, you guys got a lively group there today.
You know it.
Yes, we do.
Hey,
how can we help, sir?
On my last physical, I had a PSA done, and I hadn't had one since 18, and kind of surprised me that I hadn't. Anyway, I got a flag on it, and it's running 5.8.
Okay. And what was your last one back
on
in...
It.
What was your last one in 2018?
In 18, it was 2.8.
Okay. So you got a 2.5 times rise in 5 years, which...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not, you know, that's not as worrisome as if that had happened in 1 year. Statistically...
Oh, okay.
If you more than double your PSA in 1 year or less... then that's a bad prognostic sign if it turns out to be a prostate cancer. And there's a lot of reasons PSA can go up other than prostate cancer. It's just that prostate cancer is one of the reasons, and so it's the one we worry about the most. All right. If a PSA is rising slowly, you know, year to year, let's say it started at 2.5 and then it went to 3, and then it went to 3.5 the next year and 4 the next year. That kind of slow, gradual, linear rise, even if it turned out to be a prostate cancer, says that this is a cancer that is not growing fast and is very unlikely to ever kill you. It's one of those that we have a high probability of watching, and just to see. Because we don't know how fast it's been rising. We don't know if it stayed in the twos for the last 4 years, and then just this last year jumped up from 2 to 5, because we don't have that interim history. That's why I love to get these at least once a year so I can, you know, track what our rate of rise is.
I didn't realize that I hadn't had one that long because I asked for it this time. I said, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I got one this year.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'll be 80 in August.
And see, that's why they didn't do it.
What I was wondering.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I strongly disagree with. There were studies about 10 or 15 years ago that said that if you got a prostate cancer after age 70, I forget what it was, 74, 75, somewhere in that mid-70s range, that the chances of it ever killing you were extremely low because the average American lifespan right now, you know, or back then was 78 point some odd months. Now it's down to 76 and something. Lifespan is dropping. And so, isn't that kind of sad? And most of it is drug overdose and suicide. People are killing themselves and inadvertently getting killed because, you know, for reasons I do not understand and disagree with, we have basically turned our southern border over to the drug cartels, which makes no sense. But so between suicide from despair
and
drug overdoses, America's survival rate is actually dropping. We're dying younger as a country.
I know.
And a lot. Yeah. And so, but the idea was that, okay, you're going to die of a heart attack or a stroke or a cancer before the prostate would kill you. So let's not even look. And so they based most insurance companies just stopped doing PSAs in men over about 75. And so, you know, they did your last one when you were in your late 70s and said, to hell with him.
So, doctor, is that worth having him ask his doctor for one?
Well,
Would they cover it if the doctor suggested it?
Medicare will cover it if the doctor wants to do it, and the doctor wants to do it if he doesn't want to piss off his patient.
Mm.
So yes, tell your doctor you really want it. You know, we do them on all of our men at least once a year, no matter what their age, because my plan is to keep our patients as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as long in life as possible. And if we can make 90 the new 60, that's the way I want to go. In which case, I want to keep on keeping on. I'm turning 76 this summer, and I'm getting my PSA every year.
Yes, you are.
The fact is, I get mine every 6 months. That's a whole different issue. I own the joint. I can do it for free. So, But because it is now statistically in an upper range, if are you one of our patients or are you just a caller? Come on.
Just a caller, sir.
Okay. Just a caller. Okay. Well, you ought to fix that, okay? Let's start with it. You ought to become one of our patients.
That's right. We want you here till you're 90-something.
I want him dancing and cavorting into the wee hours till he's 90. Then we'll start worrying about slowing him down. There are some tests that can be done. And again, your problem is going to be to get your doctor to do them. If they send you to a urologist, the first thing they're going to want to do is a biopsy. And I disapprove of biopsies right away.
Because
biopsies are not benign. If they don't have a lesion, they do, it's a 12 puncture random biopsy. They take a large core needle.
Oh, God.
They try to clean out your rectum. They go in through the rectum and they poke 12 big holes and pull out cores of your prostate at random, looking to see if they can find a cancer. If there was a small cancer there and they didn't happen to get it, you'll get a benign biopsy, but you get all the risks of the biopsy, which are bleeding and infections. And, you know, I had a patient many years ago who almost died from a sepsis from the biopsy. He got infected in his prostate because you cannot really sterilize the bowel. So you're poking that big core needle from a very non-sterile area down into a sterile organ. You know, so I don't like biopsies if I don't really need them. So what I tend to do is two things. First, I do what we call a 4K test. This measures four different kinases that give us a statistical probability of what your risk of having a prostate cancer over the next decade is. So if your 4K test is reassuring, that tells us you have a very low probability of having a serious prostate cancer. If your 4K test is elevated, then I want to send you off for a MRI. Do a magnetic resonance screening of that prostate. They can find a lesion as small as 1 millimeter in your prostate. A very tiny tumor can be picked up on an MRI. So with a good enhanced MRI, they can do a very good screening. And then if they see something in that prostate that worries them, then they can go biopsy that spot instead of doing poking 12 great big holes all over the place. Now you got a target to go after.
Mm.
Okay. And if you can actually hit that spot and take a piece of that, now you got the tissue itself to say, is this a cancer? And if it's a cancer, is it a low grade indolent cancer that he'll live with for 40 years and it'll never kill him? Or is this one of these really bad actors that's going to grow fast?
Mm.
Okay. So I do several things if you were my patient. I'd get another PSA in 6 months. I'd get a 4K test right now to check your kinases. And that 6-month recheck will tell me how fast it's growing. You know, how fast is that PSA rising? And then if either of those worried me, I'd get the MRI. And if the MRI worried me, I go to biopsy. That's my approach.
I just noticed that my previous test from 18 was down 16, and it's just a little bit over 2. And then 16 was 2.8.
Yeah. So
that's,
you know,
2 years.
Yeah, so in 2 years...
We're in the ballpark as far as that goes.
Well, yeah, in 2 years, you had just over half a point, a rise, okay, from 2.2 to 2.8. So you had a 0.6 rise in 2 years, which averaged out to 0.3, which is, you know, one-fifth or sixth of the base. So you had a very slow rise. So the odds are that your PSA is going up just because you're an older man and you're probably getting some prostate enlargement. Okay, benign prostatic enlargement.
And I was taking salt palmetto and I want to get back on it. So
yes. So anyway, that's probably what's happening. Yep. But, you know, but I don't like treating people based on probability if I don't have to. So, let's run a few tests and see what your risks really are, okay?
Not invasive test, yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Keep needles out of your rectum if you can help it. That's right.
Okay. No, I'm all for that.
Yeah. All right. That's what I always say. All right. Thank you for that call.
Take care, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for the information.
Okay, thanks bye-bye. So much. That opens up another line for you. If you're listening today, you've got a health question for Dr. Mixon. The number to call is 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Got a few people standing by. We'll get to your calls right after this break with the Leading Edge Medicine Program with Dr. Jerry Mixon. You're listening to the Leading Edge Medicine Show, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic, a clinic that Dr. Mixon founded a number of years ago. In
1998.
Whoa, 25 years.
So been around a long time. And we want you to be sure and sign up for the free health analysis appointment at least. At least try that. There's several different levels you can go with these tests. But Dr. Mixon, tell us more.
Well, that last patient is a perfect example. This is a guy whose doctors, because he's getting some age on him, aren't doing the tests that I really wish would get done. And since we treat aging, you know, our whole clinic is aimed at making you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and in process happier and safer, whatever your age. And I've treated patients that are over 100 before. So, yeah, this is not a place where we give up on you just because you hit 70 or 80. What we're going to do, if you want to come in for a free health analysis, we'll start with a history. We want to find out what life has done to you up till now. And then we're going to do a couple of simple, inexpensive tests. We will do an in-body that's actually going to measure the amount of visceral fat you've got in your belly. You know, people don't realize you don't just put fat on your belly, you have fat in your belly. And that visceral fat, that fat around your organs, is dangerous. It is acting as a gland. It's producing more than 80 different peptides, enzymes, hormones, and cytokines that cause inflammation throughout your body. And that rise in inflammation causes your brain cells to die faster. You develop atherosclerosis and narrow the arteries in your heart and in your brain. It raises the risk of strokes. It raises the risk of diabetes. It raises the risk of degenerative joint disease. So if you're getting aches and pains in your joints, that visceral fat is probably contributing to that significantly. The other thing we're going to measure is your hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by glucose, the blood sugar. And that, once more, will predict a large number of degenerative changes that you're at risk for. So if your A1C is quite low, it's reassuring. If it's up there in 5-7 or above, you're pre-diabetic, and we're worried about, you know, some really bad consequences. If that evaluation tells you that everything is great, you're doing fine, you don't need us, good, go on your way and have a wonderful life. But if, on the other hand, if that evaluation says, here are a series of risk factors that worry you, then we're going to offer you a bigger panel. And that one's not free. That one's about $600. Okay. But that panel will get you $2,000 worth of lab work for $600 and an hour with the doctor to go over all of that lab work and help you to decide what it is we can or can't do for you. It lets you actually see what it's going to take to get you where you want to go. Then you can decide, do you want to be a patient or not? If your goal is to head downhill at the current rate, fine. I'm not your daddy. I'm not your boss. You make your decisions and you live with the consequences.
Wait, you're my boss.
On the other hand,
no. Yes.
If on the other hand, you know, you look at these risks and you say, I don't want that, I want it fixed, then you can become a patient at Longevity and we'll set about fixing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple.
Sounds like a plan. And if people are listening and they want to find out more, they can call this number, 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. You can also find out more and book an appointment online at lmclinic.com. Clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. So there's a clinic near you, Longevity Medical Clinic. I need to sign up for this. I'm kind of new to things around here, and I haven't done this yet.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Come on in. You know, mm-hmm. Go online or give a call, either one. Get mm-hmm. yourself set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, back to some calls now. We have several people standing by, people calling 800-465-8770. And I think we're going to go with Damon in Van Buren, Arkansas. Damon?
Whoa, I want to see if he has an Archie accent like my daddy.
Okay.
Hi there, Damon.
No, I do not have that accent.
No, I can tell.
I lived in the Pacific Northwest since 2000, and I've recently bailed out of that place and ended up in Arkansas.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, every time the legislature meets and passes another stupid law, I get the urge to move myself. So. Anyway, how can we help you, sir?
Yes, I had a question about niacin and niacinamide. What mm-hmm. is the difference sort of between those two? Are they in the same class of supplements?
Yes.
Or I'm trying to understand that.
Okay. Well, yeah, niacin in and of itself, a simple niacin salt, is dissolved very, very quickly. And most people don't tolerate it worth a hoot. Okay. So there are a variety of niacin compounds that are released more slowly and gently and don't cause nearly as much reaction. Some of them are released so slowly that they don't seem to get as much benefit as the faster release stuff. But, the fast release stuff pounds it really hard. It just suddenly floods in your system and gives you a big hard bang on that. And you get a big impact, but you get a lot of side effects. The niacinamide or the riboside versions of niacin are much more gentle, and they actually, some of them, especially the riboside, the niacinamide riboside, is a very, very, unfortunately, expensive, about $120 a month, but it does a very nice job of keeping your blood vessels dilated and also tends to encourage cellular turnover, replacement of aged and dying cells. So
okay.
It's just a matter of which form you want to take and which ones you tolerate. Let me tell you a little story about Dr. Mixon screwing up one time.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. It's one of those things, you know, I ain't perfect. I was taking some a slow-release niacinamide, and I was perfectly happy with it. But I was walking through Costco one time, and God, this is probably 10, 15 years ago, and I saw this great big bottle of niacin, 240 pills for $7 or something, you know? And I said, hey, listen, I'm going to give it a try. And I went in, and I paid my $7. I took it home. I popped a couple of those. I thought I was going to die on the spot.
Oh, no.
You know, my blood pressure went up. My face turned beet red.
I mean,
I thought I was dying of a stroke right on the spot.
Oh, no.
So I took my 240 pills and dumped them in the garbage. That's right. So, yeah, wow. It's worth paying it's worth paying the higher price. So
okay, that's good to know, Dr. Mixon. I'm glad that that you were the kind of the guinea pig and not a patient.
I'm the guinea pig for a whole lot of stuff.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But some of it doesn't work out well. I don't recommend it to my patients.
Okay. Is that helpful, Damon?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Sir. Thanks, Damon. Bye-bye. Hey, let's move on to Barb. Barbara in Bellevue. She has a question for Dr. Mixon. Barbara, what's your question?
Hello, Barbara.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Mixon. I was recently diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic cancer, and I am scheduled to start immunotherapy with Pembro, brand name of Keytruda, on Monday. And I've been very, it's been I'm not sure. I just want to get your
What's your primary? You've got stage 4. For the listeners that don't know what that means, stage 4 cancer means it has already spread to remote organs. So where did it start? Do you have a primary?
It started in my kidney 6 years ago, and I had a partial nephrectomy. I've been doing great since then. I had no other treatment other than the surgery and just routine checkup, check. And they've recently discovered something back in November, and over the course of the last several months, it's been needle biopsies and CAT scans and PET scans and all of that. And
So
that's what my oncologist is recommending.
Well, and I firmly agree with your oncologist. The problem is that the kidney cancer you had, that renal cell tumor you had 6 years ago, had already spread. It had sent some single cells. You know, cancers start as one cell. One cell mutates, and your immune system doesn't find and kill it. It's supposed to. That's what, part of what our immune system does. Whenever you get a mutated cell that puts a risk, this is no longer a healthy part of you, and your immune system is supposed to go in, identify, and destroy that cell. And it happens to us all the time. It's just that most of the time our immune response is good enough to kill it, and it never becomes a tumor that we find. In your case, your immune response was not able to find and destroy it, so you developed a cancer. They found the cancer, they went in, they removed the cancer, and for 6 years you thought you were in good health. But what had actually happened is that renal cell carcinoma had sent out some other single cells. Other little cells had dumped into your bloodstream or into your lymphatic system and had spread throughout your body, and they've been slowly growing over the years. And so now this unfortunate lady has a stage 4, which means it's no longer in the kidney. It's not even just around the kidney. It hasn't even just invaded locally. It has now spread to remote sites in her body. This is always discouraging, okay, because we know by the experience of this happening that her immune system is not good at finding and controlling this tumor. So what she has to do now is to attack the tumor as aggressively as possible. The immunotherapies are trying to boost her own immune response and to help it to target this tumor. Because once it spreads remotely, you can't go all over the body and start whacking pieces of you hither and yon.
Okay.
You know, so the best hope she's got is her own immune response. If she can use modern technology to help her body identify and go out and kill those tumors, or at least slow their growth and give her more time.
Okay.
That's what she's after. So not an enviable situation you're in, ma'am, but your doctor is taking the exact right approach. This is your best shot.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for your call, Barb.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay.
Take care, dear. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barb. And you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. We need to take a short break here at the top of the hour. Good time for you to call 800-465-8770. We'll be back here in just a few moments.